The Old Testament, Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 37 in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. Ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, O bones, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. Ezekiel was a young man, 25 years old, when he was first taken away into captivity with about 10,000 others Jews. They were taken into captivity into Babylon because of their rebellion. This was about the third or fourth time that they had been warned, and prophets such as Jeremiah and others had warned them of the judgment that was going to come upon them if they persisted to live in their own way and rejected the commandments of the Lord. And so the Babylonians came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and stole away 10,000 of the inhabitants of that city. And as a part of that group, there were a couple of young priests, prophets, who were also taken away into captivity, and Ezekiel was one of them. He was 25 years old whenever he was taken into captivity. He was 30 years old, when you can read about this in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, when he was down by the river Kibar with the rest of those that had been taken into captivity. And the Bible says there that God spoke to him and called him out to be a prophet to Israel. He was around 30 years old whenever he received this call to prophesy and to speak to the people of Israel that were in captivity. There were about 7 different visions that he received in the book of Ezekiel, and the one that we read to you from chapter 37 is one of the 7 visions of Ezekiel. Now, his message was a message to Israel specifically, but we all know that any message that was directed to Israel has its application to the church and to you and me today. And so we're looking at it today from that perspective, that this is a message for today. This is Ezekiel's message to the church of 2014, of which you and I are a part of. And I'm thankful to be a part of the church. I'm grateful for the fact that all of my life, since I was just a young person, that I was brought into the house of the Lord. I was taken to church, and eventually I had an experience with God, an encounter with the Lord. I was born again, changed, filled with the Spirit, and God has helped me and directed me down through the years. And I'm so thankful for the ministry of the church. I'm not down on the church. I believe in the power of the ministry of the church. But I am concerned about a lot of the things in the direction of the church today. You see, Babylon came in and took Israel and destroyed Jerusalem. And really, it was because they were not willing to heed the warnings of the prophets. They despised the warnings of the prophets. And what was interesting is that most of the time, that even though they were disobeying the commandments of the Lord, they went on with their ritual. They went on with their religion. They went ahead with the sacrifices. They went ahead with sometimes it was somewhat perverted as far as the ways that they would handle it. But they went on with their religious activity. And I think there's a serious danger and a great problem that I see today. And I just pray that the Lord would help us. Let's not slip into a deceptive lie of the enemy in these last days. And I believe that part of Ezekiel's message is just this, that we need to understand that if you truly love the Lord, you will love His commandments. You will love pleasing the Lord. If you love the Lord, you will want to do His will, and His desire will be your desire. You'll have a new heart, and you'll have a desire to please the Lord. If not, then really your conversion is not real. A real conversion is a change. It's a transformation. I don't mean that you're perfect. I just mean that you're changed. And you have a whole new set of desires and a whole new direction. And you have a heart after God. I don't even mean that you won't make mistakes or fail along the way. But even in that, if you're born again, you're going to get up. You're going to brush yourself off. You're not going to give up. You're going to keep pursuing God. Keep pursuing the things of God. You're not going to give up on your relationship with the Lord. You can't read the Bible without seeing the dozens and dozens of verses that parallel the love of God, loving God with the commandments of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. 1 John chapter 5. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in. 2 John chapter 1. It's an unlikely and an unholy mixture whenever you say, well, I can live my life, I can live after the ways of the flesh and after the ways of the world, but then say, I have a testimony that I love the Lord. Do you realize that that was a part of the problem with the Jews down there in Jerusalem? Ritual, religion, a formality, but their heart was far from God. It was so far from the Lord. And there cannot, whenever there is this evil mixture of religion and the lack of a love for God, then you have terrible, terrible results. It's actually impossible. The scripture says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 5. James chapter 3, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No, the scripture is very clear that what is happening in these last days that we need to be very aware of, and that is the scripture says that for this cause, God will allow them to enter into a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They would believe the lie that they could carry on with their love for the flesh and their love for the ways of the old life and still say, I love the Lord at the same time. Now, the problem that took place was that God eventually allowed them to come under the judgment that they faced. And they're drawn away down to Babylon, and now they're dominated by the Babylonians. Now they're living in a culture of paganism where God isn't even welcome. And they're finding themselves in a place. And I'm convinced that right now in the United States of America that we're facing a similar type situation where paganism and heathenism and no love for God and no place for God. God is just being pushed out of every venue and every circumstance to the point now that we are living in a world much like a Babylon. And we're the church, instead of being the church of Jesus Christ that is living in victory and walking in victory and living above sin and above the world, we find ourselves cowered down by the spirit of this age. And that is not the will of God. It's just not the will of God. The church is to be victorious. The church is to be living in power. We're to be experiencing the power of the Spirit of God. And so whenever Ezekiel has this vision from Ezekiel 37, it was the Spirit of the Lord that picked him up and led him into this vision to allow him to see. It was the hand of the Lord. You'll see that all through the book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me. The hand of the Lord was upon me. It's repeated numerous times because Ezekiel recognized that he was a commoner and that he had no natural ability. He had to have something from God. And so he was constantly saying, "The hand of the Lord is upon me." Even the Lord addressed him in this text here 3 or 4 times as "Son of Man," reminding him of the fact that he was just flesh. He was just a man. And he was not going to be able to get it done unless there was something supernatural that took place in his life. Folks, I don't know about you, but there is a desperation that's in my heart. In my spirit, it weighs very heavily upon my heart because I know that God wants the church to be moving in victory. He doesn't want us beaten down and cowed down by sickness, by discouragement, by troubles and burdens and problems. And almost every one of us, we're experiencing troubles and different types of challenges. And it's the enemy coming again and again and again, trying to bombard you and to cause you to lose your faith and your confidence in the Lord. The Lord gave to Ezekiel this vision, and he saw the whole nation of Israel as God saw them. That's an important thing. We do not need to see ourselves as we, from our own perspective. We will deceive ourselves. We'll lie to ourselves. That's why it's so important that there be this rushing move of the Spirit of God, this empowering work of revival that needs to come into our lives individually and corporately, because we need to hear from God. We need the voice of the Lord. We do not need a man-made solution. We need something from heaven. We need a voice from God. We need a word from the Lord. We need to be challenged by the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit that is for this hour. Amen. Sufficient for the day of January 2014, the challenges of today, God by His Spirit will come and will help us if we'll seek the Lord with our whole heart. The Bible says that He was carried out in the Spirit, set out in the midst of a valley full of bones. The circumstance was a desperate situation. You see, you go back a few chapters and you're reminded of the vision that Ezekiel had about the watchmen. The watchmen that were on the wall, that they held a great responsibility. If they saw in danger coming, if they saw the armies approaching, but they neglected to warn of the danger that was coming, then the scripture says that the watchman was going to bear the responsibility. It was going to be upon their hands. But if they would warn about the impending danger, then they would relieve themselves of the responsibility of the efforts of the enemy. I have to tell you, and I think others of you who stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel, you understand what I'm talking about.
But it's not an uncommon thing for me to have a night like I had last night, where I rolled and tossed and couldn't sleep, and I was troubled and I was burdened, and it weighed heavily upon me, because I would wake up through the night thinking, Lord, is this what you want me to say? Is this how you want me to direct in this service? Is this really from you? And just troubled. And it's not an uncommon thing for my Saturday nights to be somewhat troubled over the service for the next day. And I spent pretty much a troubled time last night, because I really do feel the weight and the burden of the responsibility. I don't think that I'm the only person responsible, but I do believe that we do bear a responsibility to declare the word of the Lord. And we understand that it's so important that the truth go forth with power and unction and anointing, so that lives can be changed. It's not my words, it's the work of the Spirit of God that can accomplish what needs to be accomplished here today. We need the whole counsel of God. We need the unction of the Holy Spirit to be able to declare the word of the Lord in an age such as we're living in right now. So much is said about, you need to understand the needs of the people and make sure that your message is a felt need, that you're touching the needs of people. But I'm convinced that a lot of people, they really don't even know what they need. I'm convinced that the children of Israel, if you would have asked the common Jewish captive in Babylon, what is your need today? They would have said, we need to be set free from this place. We want to go home, back to Jerusalem. That's our need. But that wasn't their need. Their problem is that they had rebelled against God, and they needed to repent of that. They need to get back in right relationship with God. Their real need could only be exposed by the wind of the Spirit of God. That's the only thing that was going to cause that valley of dry bones to once again experience life and come to life and become what God intended them to be. Hallelujah. Verse 2, it says, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Can you see the circumstance that's there? I'm telling you, it is a serious circumstance. It is it's an impossible circumstance that this prophet is seeing in his vision. And really what he was seeing was the nation of Israel, and he saw that they were in such a hopeless circumstance. Only God could solve this problem. No amount of education, no amount of natural ability, nothing was going to be able to resolve this thing unless there was a visitation from God. Only the Lord was going to change this circumstance. I want to just challenge you today to understand, or at least for you to be reminded of the fact that we are called of God, every one of us, from the preacher to the deacon to the fathers and the mothers and everybody that's in this building here today. We all have a call of God upon our heart, and we all have, and I've been mentioning this recently in the services, we all have this little circle of influence that God's put us in. People that you can touch and that you can influence, that I won't ever see them, and I won't be able to influence them. But God has put you in your little world, your little circle of influence. And it's important that you be a godly, righteous person, that you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you are prepared with a message to be able to give a word to those that are in such need in this hour. They need someone that can offer to them hope. And they need more than just a little word from you. They need to hear from God. They need a visitation of the Spirit of God in their life. Amen. You see, the true condition of people's hearts, everywhere that you look, people are in such desperation. Hopelessness is pretty much everywhere you look. It's a common thing for me to be called to go visit someone, or maybe go to the hospital, or someone will give me a call about some need. And every direction, there's desperation. Everywhere you look, there's problems that have no answers and no solutions, except through a miraculous visitation of God's Holy Spirit and His power. So we understand that first of all, there were many bones. It was overwhelming. The need was overwhelming, and they were very dry. It was just intensely desperate. There was no answer and no solution. And we are faced with a year, 2014, and all of these spiritual problems and spiritual needs. We cannot come up with a good answer. It requires that we seek the Lord. It requires that we call upon the Lord. It requires that we wait upon the Lord and that we are filled with the Spirit of God, because there is no answer to any earthly need that cannot come from our own natural abilities. We need to call upon the name of the Lord. This is a generation that needs to hear from God. Needs to hear from God. And again, I'm not throwing off on other churches, because they're responsible for what they do. We're responsible for what we do. But we need to make sure that we make the Christ and the Word of God the center of what we're doing, that the message of salvation is our message, and that we're willing to declare and preach the whole counsel of God to a world, and to do it under the unction and the anointing of the Spirit of God. As I mentioned, Ezekiel, the Lord referred to him as Son of Man, reminding him of his humanity and how that is impossible for him to do anything. So when he's asked, Son of Man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Ezekiel, he turns his faith toward God. Oh Lord, thou knowest. He understands that God is the sovereign one. He's the one. He's the only answer. And I just declare to all of you here today, all the burdens and the worries and the circumstances of our world that we live in today, there is only one answer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one answer, and that's the power of the Spirit of God. And the wind of the Spirit of God blowing into our lives and experiencing His dynamic power in our lives is the only answer to the world that we're faced with today. I'm glad for a lot of things that we have available to us. The scripture says that God spoke to him in this vision and told him, prophesy to these bones. Oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. It seems foolish, doesn't it? I mean, it's a valley full of dry bones. The bones are even scattered. They're parched in the sun and they've been that way for a long time. It's not possible. But what the message here was that if you'll speak to it, if there's the breath of God and the move of the Spirit of God can change any situation. And God can move in any circumstance. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. No marriage that's broken up is too hard for God to put it back together. There's no person that's backslidden and been away from God for many, many years. It's not too hard for the Lord. There needs to be a breath of God blow into that situation. There's no financial problem that's too big for God. Seek the Lord and ask the Lord to come and to show His mighty power, to demonstrate His power in your behalf. Hallelujah. So after he prophesied to the bones, it's interesting that the scripture says, verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. Glory to God. Something's starting to move. Something's starting to change. And it wasn't enough. I mean, noises is wonderful. I'm glad for music, and I'm glad for worship, and I'm glad for, you know, all of the wonderful things that are made available to us today, all the equipment and computers and all these things are wonderful and nothing wrong with them, but they cannot be a substitute for the moving of the Spirit of God. We can have the best of musicians, the best of singers, the best of everything as far as natural talent and ability, but we're going to fall, we're going to fail, we're not going to accomplish our last day ministry unless we are filled with the Spirit and the breath of God is blowing upon us. The noise is fine and the shaking is good too, but don't stop with that. Keep moving forward and understand. It says there that then the bone came together, bone to his bone. So now the structure of the skeleton is starting to come together. I don't know, I just kind of think that's a good lesson in organization. It's good to have organization. I'm all for it. I think that we need to be organized, and we need to have our services a particular order. Nothing needs to be, you know, out of order as far as our worship and the things of God in the house of the Lord. But organization doesn't get it done. If organization could get it done, then many, many nominal churches all over the world would be experiencing a great revival today. But we know that in many nominal churches, there's death and lifelessness and nothing taking place there of the Spirit of God. So we need more than noise and we need more than organization. We need the breath of God. Amen. We need the breath of God. Are you with me? When I beheld and lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them above and there was no breath in them. It doesn't matter how good that it looked. It didn't matter how perfectly you can dress up a corpse, but it still requires life. And there has to be life. And if there is to be a move of God, there has to be the breath of God. That's what sets us apart. That's what sets you and me apart. If we're to be truly a Pentecostal church, and it's still out there on the sign out front, we are the first Pentecostal church. We still got the title, but do we have the reality of that? Do we have the power of God working and moving in our life? You can have all these wonderful things that may look great, may look wonderful, but there's no breath in them. It's the breath of God. And so he prophesied. He said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. I have to just believe that this is like prayer and intercession. Prophesy to the wind. Oh, Lord, we need your wind. We need the wind of the Spirit of God. We need you to blow into this place and into our lives and into our circumstances. The Bible says that he prophesied unto the wind. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Doesn't matter how well equipped the army is, how well trained that they are, what they need is life. They need life. And what we need right here at this location is the power of God's Spirit once again. How do we get there? How do we experience this? It has to begin with every individual, from the preacher in the pulpit to the musicians and the singers and every one of us. We all have to recognize our need and get desperate before the Lord and ask the Lord, oh God, would you blow your wind of the Spirit upon us once again. That's the only answer. It's the only hope that we have in these last days of the church, is to be a Spirit-empowered church, moved upon by the Holy Ghost, led of the Spirit, completely dependent upon the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what will change every one of us. I had the experience myself in my own life as about a 14, 15-year-old teenage boy that was so backward and shy that they would call on me to come up and take up the offering. I couldn't even look up. I would just stand there and look at the floor. I was so shy and backward to ever think that I could ever get up in front of people was just an impossibility. But I have to tell you that there was an encounter that I had when I was about 14 years old with God, the third person of the Trinity, a baptism of the Spirit. Amen. A baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was real. It was life-changing. It was transforming. It touched me. It caused me to be able to fulfill what the Lord had put in my heart to do. I had no ability outside in my own strength and power. He gave to me an unction, a desire, and an ability to do what the Lord was calling me to do by the Holy Ghost. I know from personal experience that we're pretty much going to be lifeless. We're going to be eventually like a valley of dry bones. We're going to have nothing to offer. It's going to be impossible to change us and impossible to move us if we do not, as a body, move in to the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. That's the only way we're going to be effective as witnesses. It's the only way we're going to have an effective outreach. It's the only way we're going to be able to make an impact on our families. It's the only way we're going to be able to pray and intercede effectively. It's the only hope for us in these last days is to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Son of man, can these bones live? The Lord reminding him, you're just flesh. Oh Lord, you know. He turned it right back to the Lord. Lord, it's in your hands. You're the sovereign God. It's only if you come and you visit us, only if you empower us, only if you anoint us, are we going to be able to do what you're asking us to do. I'd like to urge each of you in this next coming days to seek the Lord and ask the Lord to fill you again, to baptize you again. Ask the Lord to breathe upon us here at this location, in this church, the breath of God, the Spirit of the Lord. And I've sensed His presence here today, but we need an overwhelming moving of the Spirit of God, where God, by His Spirit, visits us and everyone in this place, where sinners are convicted, where saints are encouraged and challenged and empowered to be what the Lord calls us to be. Can these bones live? Only by the power of God. Is there any hope? Only by His power, His anointing, His unction can it be accomplished. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that your desire? Is that your desire? Some of you can go back a lot of years. You've been around Pentecost. You've been saved a lot of years. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since you just got alone with the Lord and you waited upon the Lord until you were filled with the Spirit. Amen. Be filled with Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine where it is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit again and again and again and again. Sufficient for the day. Sufficient for 2014. None of us know what we will face this year. We don't know the challenges. We don't know the opportunities. But I do know that if we're led of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, God is going to take us and He's going to use us and He's going to help us to accomplish His will and His purpose in these last days. Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the reminder from Your Word that You can breathe upon Your people. You can breathe upon the church. And Lord, I know that we just need You to visit us. Lord, we need Your power. We need Your anointing. And Lord, I pray that all of the things, Lord, that have weighted us down, that are hindering us from pressing in to the things of God, Lord, I just pray that You would help us, Lord, to lay aside every weight, every sin, everything, and to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Do a work, Lord, in every individual here today, we pray. Glory to God.